4. Charov's place was a furnished apartment on Chicago's South Side near Marquette Park. It was a sprawling dark brick building with a transient air to it, as though no one had ever planned to stay there long. Half the mailboxes and doorbells were unmarked, and many of the rest were handwritten on torn-off pieces of cardboard or strips of masking tape. Two bicycles in the clean but bleak front vestibule were heavily chained to vertical metal pipes, heat risers. Charov's name was among the missing on mailboxes and doorbells, and Parker had no way to know which apartment was his. He found the super's apartment at the ground floor rear, beyond the staircase, and the second time he knocked, the door was opened by a 50-ish, very short, stout woman in yellow tank top and jeans, barefoot. A lit cigarette was in the corner of her mouth, an unlit one behind her left ear. In her free hand, she held a copy of The Star. She gave Parker a sharp, suspicious look, decided he was neither a tenant nor a cop, and said, "Yeah? My brother Victor's supposed to meet me at the airport," Parker told her. He acted bewildered, starting to be worried, not very smart. He held his airline ticket up to show her, saying, "See, I flew in from Albany. Victor's supposed to meet me. He never showed up." She frowned at the ticket he was waving. "What do I care? He lives here. Victor Charov?" "Oh," she said, nodding, recognizing the name. "Sure, that's right. I had to take a cab in from O'Hare," Parker told her. $23. Victor never showed up." "Maybe he's stuck in traffic," she said. "Maybe it's his heart," Parker suggested. "He had heart trouble once. Maybe he's sick." She made an effort to act concerned. "Did you try calling him?" "No answer," he told her. "Come with me. Open the door. Let's see if he's there." She looked at her newspaper, frowning, not wanting to have to move out of her nest. "My husband's upstairs fixing a sink," she said. "We'll just take a look," Parker told her. "Make sure he isn't there, hurt or something." She sighed, feeling sorry for herself. "All right, just a minute." She didn't ask him in, but shut the door, and he waited in the hall until she came out, now wearing sneakers and a lavender cardigan sweater. The cigarette was gone from her mouth, but the other one was still behind her ear. "Come on," she said. The elevator was old and slow and a little too small.